You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Oh, great to be here, folks. Great to have you with me wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin tonight or parts beyond. Welcome to Nightlight. We are having a lot of fun tonight talking about film festivals and independent film. In hour number one, we covered the Super Bowl halftime show. And we, Aaron Zommers, who is producing tonight's show, and I had a little discussion about Bad Bunny and some of the cool stuff we saw during the Super Bowl halftime show. We talked with Door County Film Festival creative minds Kurt Krause, Chris Opper, and Antonio Polk. We will be back with those guys in just a moment talking about this really cool film festival here in beautiful Door County, Wisconsin, one of the most scenic parts of our state, regardless of the time of year. We'll be back with those guys in just a moment. We've got Mike Siegel will be here in hour number two. Mike is the host of the Travel Tales podcast. He's hosted such TV shows as If Walls Could Talk and What You Get for the Money. And Mike is also a very funny comedian. We'll talk about sitcom leading actors and this probably some Super Bowl talk, and pop culture will work its way in there as well. In hour number three, or act three as we call it, Chris Opper. Chris Opper is not our guest in act three. Rich LoCascio from WRJN, part of the Civic Media family here. And Rich is also a wrestling announcer, and Chris has given me the nickname the Pine Tree Mauler, which I did nothing to deserve. So we'll talk to Rich in hour number three. Aaron Zommers, I think it's time to reintroduce our question of the night, sir.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It is National Pizza Day, folks. What is your favorite pizza topping? Or what is your least favorite pizza topping? Share both, share one, whatever you so desire. Be part of the show. Love when you guys chime in and tell us what's on your mind. And you can do that about anything we're talking about tonight. If you have a question for the Door County Film Festival guys, chime in and let us know what that will be as well. We'll share it with them. 855-752-4842. That is the text line. You can also text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on Facebook, X, or YouTube, drop us a stream comment. And just to let you know, if you did miss something in the first hour, all of our hours are cataloged in podcast form, and they are sort of stored at civicmedia.us. So check out hour number one there. Let's jump back in with our guests. Aaron, are we good? Everything going all right? How do you think it's going so far, buddy?
I think it's going well. Everything seems to be, I mean, unless there's something that you aren't telling me, everything seems to be going well.
No. Have any Olympic medals been won since we've been on break?
That I do not know. I have not been watching.
All right. I'm going to check that out, too. Are you guys Olympics fans? Have you been watching the Olympics in between programming this great film festival you have?
No. I'm an Olympics fan. I just haven't tuned in this year so far.
Okay.
Maybe I can, you know, at some point squeeze some time in. When I have some time available. As of right now, I'm a little crunched for time with this film festival and all.
You'll catch up. You got time, buddy.
I'll catch up. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to have you guys here, Kurt Krause, Chris Opper, and Antonio Polk from this year's Door County Film Festival. It kicks off on, is it Thursday night?
Thursday night, yes.
Okay, and then it goes through the weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. They've got feature films now. They've expanded the festival. It's gotten bigger. They've got a great venue at the Northern Sky Theater in Fish Creek, and I will be there Friday night. I'm very excited to be part of this, and I can't thank you guys enough for asking me. So let's jump back in and talk about some of the films. What do you all have Let's do this. Let's start with Chris, and we'll go this way. What is a film you could recommend, Chris, for people to see?
The one I'm actually most excited about is Bert. It is our third feature. It's on Friday at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 2 o'clock. Yeah, it's a guy that that has early Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, sorry. And this younger guy comes in and says that he's his son. And it's kind of a reconnection of somebody he never knew existed. But really, really well done feature film.
Okay, great. What about you, Antonio? Anything you could recommend?
Yeah, the film that we were just talking about, and I don't know why I keep on forgetting it. The title
for
it.
Alan.
No, the lady.
Oh, Kind Mother.
Kind Mother. My first choice was Bird as well. It's just really it's a funny film. It has some funny aspects and avenues in it as well. But Kind Mother. That's a very, very interesting film as well. It's about a woman who is trying to make amends with her daughter, and her daughter didn't think that she came up so well, and the mother kind of blamed the daughter's upbringing on her mother. So it's kind of like a domino effect of unkind mothers, and the mother thought that is pretty much relating the reason why she didn't raise her daughter well. And she was hoping that her daughter would break the unkind mother trend. So it's kind of witty. It's a really good film.
Cool. What about you, Kurt?
There's so many to choose from that I think we just have such a fantastic lineup. I'd say my favorite one thus far has been the Bodie Bentz Western called Blood Trade.
Yeah.
And I like a good Western, but I have to. There's plenty of Westerns that play on Grit TV and I never really get into them, but this one, I think how he shot it stylistically, there's just a lot of really good things in it that made it a fun, kind of all the feels to a couple of my favorite more recent Westerns. And I think folks are going to enjoy it. It's a short film Western, and I know Bodie was a guest last week, and
He looks young. I said, "Oh, did you just graduate?" He goes, "No, I graduated in 2015." I was like, "Ooh,
he does have a young face.
Yeah, like, he does come off as a real young buck.
Not the first time he was asked, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's a good thing, though, as an actor.
Years up under his belt.
Oh, hold on to that.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna start sagging pretty soon.
I was gonna say once he starts producing, that's really when you age. As soon as you start producing, it just takes years off you.
How do you guys pick your films? Do you have a certain amount of narratives, a certain amount of documentaries? Do you know that going in? Or do you just kind of pick whatever kind of vibes with you?
It's the vibes. And it's always been that way from the very beginning. It's you, as they come in, we start getting our submissions on April 1st. And that's not a joke. That's when we open up our submissions. And as they come in, you just watch them and you go, I like that one. I like that one. Don't like, whatever.
Sure.
And then by October, we pretty much know what we're going to be showing. And it really isn't. We're not looking for this. We're not looking for that. Was I entertained is really the bottom line.
Yeah. So we all just kind of like we each individually watch the film. And then after that, we kind of collab on notes and things of that nature about the films that we watched. And then we kind of cast votes to a certain degree. Should this one make it? Should this one not make it? And so on.
You should see the arguments. We're showing this one. I will die before you show that one.
You got films you slam the table for, yeah.
I won't have it.
When we do the programming then for each session too, then we try to make sure that, we get a documentary short, we get a comedy, we get a drama,
an action. That's when it kind of gets evened out.
So, we try to give a taste of everything in each session for the experiential aspect.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been kind of ironic too, because in that process, we see eye to eye on a lot of the films that we do like. So, you know, you're kind of limited on how many films you can accept and so on and so forth. So you kind of have to, it draws down to making these hard choices between which one actually make it and which one doesn't.
I think at some point we end up adding an extra day to the festival. I think that's the only solution at this point.
Well, it has been growing to this point as it is, so why not? Kurt Krause, Chris Opper, and Antonio Poker, my guests, they are joining me from beautiful Door County, Wisconsin, where the Door County Film Festival kicks off this weekend. All right, let's talk about, I have a couple I want to ask you about. Houston, we have a problem. This is the Jeff Blankenship-directed film. Jeff was on the show briefly last week. This sounded kind of fun.
Yeah, we're going to...
Don't go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because you were in it.
I know, I'm biased, though. For the record, I didn't vote on this one because I'm in it. So right. If I'm involved in the project, I'm
we
not
do love Jeff Blankenship and his entire crew. They come up to the festival every year. So it's pretty easy to say, okay, that one's probably going to get in. And, you know,
it was, but, yeah. This one was done as a 48-hour right. film competition.
Right.
And so we got together with a lot of the Livingstorm Productions. Craig Olson was with us, and Brian Royston, and those guys are just natural improvers. And so within 48 hours, you write the script with the prompts that are given when you all meet up. I think it's on that Friday night. Write the script Saturday. You're shooting, and then you get it to the editor, and you have 48 hours start to finish. To write that script with the prompts, shoot it, edit it, and turn it in. So everything moves hyper speed. And fortunately, we did a comedy, and again, Brian and Craig are just so naturally funny and naturally good improvers. And Alex Contreras was our producer and just really kept us on task. And then of course, Jeff is just amazing to work with and puts everyone at ease. And I'm something of a doofus in this one, but that's not a stretch either. Yeah. And
Kurt, we're going to have you play.
Yeah, it's based around some friends who get together for charades once a month. And I'm having car trouble and I can't make it. So we're still trying to play charades, but I'm doing it over a Zoom on my phone in the car. And it's incredibly awkward and nobody's guessing what I'm doing. And likewise, I'm a terrible guesser at charades in the film.
I think it sounds fun. What do you guys, would you like to see more? We've got about a minute left. Would you like to see more films shot in Door County?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, myself as a filmmaker, that's what my objective is to actually continue to shoot films on location. Because as you already know, I have two films coming out, Better Off Dead and Angel in Rye, and both of them were shot in Door County as well as in Chicago. So, I mean, Door County is just so beautiful. Me myself as a filmmaker anticipate on just continually shoot films here as long as the films, you know, fit in my idea of good or as long as Door County fit in my idea of a good location spot to shoot films.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing all of you this weekend, and thank you again for asking me to be there. Really looking forward to it, and best of luck. Break a leg. These all sound great. We'll talk this weekend, I guess.
Okay. Well, thank great. You so much.
Look forward to seeing you.
All right,
you,
guys. Thanks for your time. Get back at it. You got a lot to do, sure. I'm still sure. So, absolutely. All right. That's Kurt Krause, Antonio Polk, and Chris Opper from the Door County Film Festival. Check out the Door County Film Festival, folks. It's in beautiful Door County. When we come out, when we come back, we're going to read your text. So don't go anywhere. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you here. This is how you do Monday, folks. Some good music, some good talk, some great texts. What is that song, Somers?
Ramble On by Led Zeppelin.
Okay. You got some new ones in there. So I thought, what was... I meant to ask you the one before we went to the break you played, and I was wondering if it had something to do with what you're talking about. Do you remember what you played before the last break?
Oh, what did I play? I don't think it really had any... In this case, I don't think it had anything to do with what you were talking about.
Right. I wanted to acknowledge it if it did, because I appreciate your efforts. So, hey, welcome back, folks. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite pizza topping, and what is your least favorite pizza topping? It is National Pizza Day. That is why we are asking the question. We've got news, sports, and weather coming up in about 7 minutes, and then my pal Mike Siegel will be here to talk about sitcom leading actors and some Super Bowl talk. So we were talking a little bit about the Turning Point USA alternative Super. It's so weird. I don't even like saying that. Like, you could talk about a show that was happening, but that was set up as a direct kind of shot at Bad Bunny and this Super Bowl, because people were mad that they picked Bad Bunny, which I thought was silly. So I almost don't like that we're giving it equal time as the Super Bowl halftime show. That's why I didn't want to get too much into it. But when something is bad, you have to acknowledge it. So we talked about Kid Rock. Talk about the strings you were talking about, the string players.
Yeah, I forgot to mention this because I had purged it from my memory. But no, I might be misremembering the timing, but I think this was in between Kid Rock's half song that he didn't actually sing and then his full song. So not only was he not singing the first, you know, half song, he got so winded he needed a break in between. But then a string duet, like for a very low energy, low key song. But they were clearly not actually performing the song. Like, their hand movements didn't match up at all. And if you've seen a professional cellist play, the guy who was there, it was not convincing for a second. He just looked super dramatic, and he looked like a pirate. The violinist was at least, you know, decent at pretending to play violin, but it also didn't match up with what the music was. I don't think they had ever heard it before. And so there are people who say that halftime show was better, to which I just say, really? Are you kidding? Did you watch it? Did you listen to it? You can say you don't like Bad Bunny for whatever your political reasons are, but if you say that the TPUSA show was better,
right,
you didn't actually watch it because it was awful.
It's just so weird, too, that like they had time to put together a good show. You know,
and it wasn't live. They didn't have to deal with that. Like, the Super Bowl is a notoriously difficult performance. Like, a huge arena like that is hard to hear yourself.
Exactly. So, all right, we've got some text here. First of all, I want to say, Ollie, if you're still listening, call back. We will get to your call. I'm sorry.
We have her on the line now.
Oh, we do. Let's put Ollie through. Did she wait this whole time?
No, she called back in.
She called back. Okay, good. Hello, Ollie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I don't like to interrupt when you're talking to somebody, so that's why I hung up.
No, that's great. And I didn't see that Zahmer sent me a message that you were on the line, but I just saw it literally like 3 minutes ago. So I'm glad you called back. So what's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to tell you my favorite pizza toppings.
I was hoping you would.
Uh-oh, of course. I like it loaded with pepperoni, sausage, green olives, mushrooms, and double extra cheese.
Oh, man. That's a pizza. Do you make your own pizza, Ollie?
I do when I can. Because of my health, I don't always have enough oomph to do that. But, yes, I like to. And if I get frozen pizza, I usually get lots of matzah, the one with all the meat. And
put
my
That's a good
green
one.
Olives and mushrooms and more cheese on top of that. So
you put more cheese on. That's so great. Ollie, thank you for calling back, and thank you
for
your...
If you're going to have pizza, you might as well have a good one.
Go for it, right? Absolutely. Don't cut
That's
corners.
Right.
That's excellent.
No peppers and no onions.
Oh, well, we disagree there, but I still consider you a friend. So thank you for the call, Ollie.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. I love lots of matzah. There's another one, a frozen pizza you can get, I like, called Home Run Inn.
I haven't had that tavern.
Have you had it?
I have not.
Oh, you have not. Yeah, it's like a tavern style. It's so good. But it's right up there with lots of matzah, I think. Jim on the stream says, favorite pizza topping, Italian sausage, least favorite artichoke hearts. I don't mind either one of those. I think they actually kind of go together, but I respect Jim's text. Thank you, Jim. Jim also said regarding the halftime show, the staging was awesome. The moving sugar cane, the guys climbing the power poles, the wedding. Were you a little lost on the power poles, Zomers?
Yeah, I looked it up, though, and apparently the reason for that is that Puerto Rico's power grid is notoriously unstable and unreliable. Okay. And the song that he was singing at that point had lyrics that referenced that. So that's gotcha. Why they were, you know, zapping and the people were falling down and climbing back up.
Oh, I didn't see that. I thought maybe it was like a tip of the hat to labor or something, but that makes
sense. I think it's that also makes, that, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Jim, for the great text. Stacy Sue on the stream says, my favorite topping, pepperoni and thin sliced tomatoes. Also, Beggar's Pizza in Chicago. Pepperoni was to die for. Worst topping, olives and green peppers. I have not heard of Beggar's Pizza in Chicago. Thank you, Stacy Sue. Where are you at? I don't dig olives on pizza either. I got to be honest. It kind of, I don't know what it is.
They're okay. You know, like I said, my only hard no is banana peppers, but I'm not the biggest fan of olives. But I know a lot of people don't like mushrooms, though. I love mushrooms on pizza.
Mushrooms are like not offensive in any way. I could totally eat mushrooms. It's like, it's nothing that takes, it's not like a banana pepper or, you know, artichoke. They don't have that kind of taste. Keep those texts coming, folks. We are coming back. And when we do, Mr. Mike Siegel, host of TV and podcast fame, will be here. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Excuse me, but you see back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore.
That's amore.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. That, of course, is the opening theme to Seinfeld, which got a little crazy. The last, like, I would say the ninth season, I don't know if they were out of material, but, like, when they would segue between different acts, that music would go on for, like, 2 minutes, and it's, like, really unnerving. That's Aaron Zomers doing the research and pulling up the music. Thank you, Mr. Zomers. So, all right, folks, our question of the night in honor of National Pizza Day is, what is your favorite pizza topping? What is your least favorite pizza topping? We're getting caught up on text as we move through tonight's show. We are halfway through Act Two, and joining me now on the stream is my pal. He is the host of the immensely popular Travel Tales podcast. He's a very successful stand-up comedian, and he's hosted shows such as What You Get for the Money and If Walls Could Talk. He joins us now, Mr. Mike Siegel. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hi, Pete. It's great to see you, as always. And I didn't know I was here on pizza night. This is a great topic.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that was actually my first question. First of all, it's still light there. I'm a little envious.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm in L.A., it was a beautiful day, Pete. It was about 75 degrees today. I took a lovely walk.
God,
and
Mike,
I don't know what it is there.
I don't know if we can continue this interview. Honestly, I just really rubbing it in. No, okay, sorry. All right, so go ahead. So I'm glad you're having a beautiful day, and you got to walk in.
Oh, look at that.
Who did that?
Balloons.
Was that Zomers?
Yes, I'm not doing anything here.
I didn't know you had that.
I didn't do anything either.
Technology. What that was magical.
I don't know.
The halftime show was extended. I assume that was Zomers.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever it was serendipitous, and let's make the most of it. I said I wanted to make radio history here, so let's not mess around any further. Mike Siegel is here. So, Mike, do you have a favorite pizza topping?
Yes, I do. I am a big fan of the Italian sausage, Pete. As you know, which is very hard to get here. What passes for sausage in California is not what we grew up with in Chicago. And that I miss. The hand-pulled kind of like, because I worked at a pizza joint, and it was actually sausage that, you know, they tore into pieces and they put it on there.
You know,
if you go to one of your bigger chains or something like that, it's the rabbit pellets or whatever. It looks like kibble that they put
really
on. It's terrible. And
I don't remember
so
that.
Oh, it was so good. But my least favorite is black olives. I'm not a black olive guy.
I'm with you. I don't like any olives on pizza. My wife likes them, Mary, you know, and I don't, yeah, the olives I could do without. I got to be on, and pineapple. It's not as awful as people say, but I don't need it on my pizza.
I'm with you, Pete. This is some hot, hot gossip right here. We're passing around back and forth.
I break all the big stories here at Nightlight. It's good to know your thoughts on pizza, Mike, but let's talk Super Bowl. Here's what happened. During the game, I got a text from Mike yesterday. I was watching the game with my parents, who both fell asleep.
Rightfully so.
It was like a lot of the coaching staff on both of the teams. It wasn't a big party. It was my parents and my sister and my wife. So it was like all of us. There were no kids around like most years. It was very slow. So, you know, and the hot, my parents' house was like 85 degrees. I had trouble keeping my eyes open. Honest to God, this game was so boring.
Remember what I text you? I and this was true. I think this comes out of like, I think I have a gift from, this is left over from when I was a sports writer so long ago, that when I kind of know in the first 5 minutes if a game's going to be exciting or not, and really? I kind of check out you can see in the first, certainly with football, by halfway through the first quarter, you could see these teams were just kind of, I was like, this game is going to be tight. I mean, it's going to be slow. It's going to be low scoring. And I think the Drake May was just overwhelmed by the occasion. I think he was too young, and he had a good year, but he was just thrown into. He was nervous, and ironically, it wasn't until the fourth quarter he started to relax, and they were moving the ball, and then he threw that interception. I was like, "Well, that's it, that's it." But I kind of knew in the first quarter. I said, "I don't think anything exciting. If there is going to be anything exciting, it's not going to be till the fourth quarter." And that's when I went, "I'm going to take a shower." Took a shower, made some dinner, ate the dinner, cleaned up after the dinner, came back to the fourth quarter. I had missed nothing. I had missed a field goal. You know what I mean? It was just like brutal.
Yeah, you said that, and that's exactly verbatim with the text you sent me. Zero
I missed
action.
Nothing.
All this stuff. And you're right, and I didn't realize that, but apparently the Patriots had the easiest schedule in the history of the NFL this year. And, you know, Drake May's good, but he was in a little bit over his head. Seattle does have a good defense.
And Seattle was in the toughest division. I mean, they were battle-tested and tough, and it was just an easier road.
Totally agree. And if I'm at a party, I guess it stood out, the suckage of the game stood out because, you know, it wasn't a big party. It was just, you know, we were kind of
talking. Me too. I was at
talking.
Home.
Yeah, it's like, okay. So it really stuck out how boring the game was because there wasn't a ton of conversation. You know, my parents like to talk politics and like that.
Oh, God.
I don't really want to do that during a football game either, but it was pretty brutal. What did you think of the halftime show, Mike, the Bad Bunny?
You know what? I wasn't familiar with him I knew who he was. And my niece, who's 18, loves him. Her and her friends, I love him. Yeah, you know, the guy just swept the Grammys. He's like the busiest, you know, he's the biggest act in the world pretty much now almost.
Right.
So I thought he did a great job. I didn't have to understand the lyrics to know that he puts on a good show. And, hey, I got to see Ricky Martin. That guy's still living La Vida Loca, buddy.
God, what? He looks like he's 23.
He looks fantastic. If that's the way that Loca is doing to his skin, I'm doing it.
More Loca.
Mas Loca, Pete. Mas.
Did you know that that Bad Bunny performed the whole Super Bowl halftime show in Spanish, Mike?
Yes, I'm aware of it.
I just thought he was talking really fast at first. I was like, "Come on, man, I can't." No, it was spectacular. And then when he brought I love Lady Gaga. I've become a huge Lady Gaga fan over the years. She was great, you know. And then they had Pedro Pascal, who literally you always say, "Oh, that guy's in everything." Now he really is in everything. Yeah. This is the Super Bowl halftime show. He turns up. Like, what on earth is happening?
I missed him. I missed him on there. And then I read about it later. I was like, wait a minute. I had to go back and double check it. I was like, it was him. It was him.
Oh, it was great. But it was a fun show. It had a nice message. And it was the same thing this year as it was like with Kendrick last year. I didn't know Kendrick's music, but I could tell that a lot went into that show. There was a lot of stuff choreographed and the production value. And I'm like, there's a message here I don't really understand because I don't know his music. And my kids explained it to me after. And I was like, that's really cool. Kind of the same thing with this year. Like, I knew who Bad Bunny was. I knew he was this international sensation. but I didn't know. But you kind of could figure it out as he's going through what he's doing. It's about love and unity and all that. It was great.
Yeah, they're not handing out these things to just anyone. I remember, right. I remember when Bruno Mars did it, and I didn't really know much about him either.
Same.
And I was like, boy, they're giving it to this kid, Bruno Mars. Because, you know, as we get older, Pete, we are further out of touch. Yeah. But I saw him on that show, and he was amazing. And he won me over. I was like, this guy, okay. I know why they gave it to him. I get it now.
Did you know the Black Eyed Peas? Zomers was telling me about the Black Eyed Peas, and there's kind of a consensus, or a lot of people think they sucked and they were the worst halftime show. I don't really remember them. I think that was because I was at a party with a lot of people, and I, to be honest, Mike, and this is what kind of irritated me about, you know, when people talk about, well, Turning Point, go there. This is the real show with the real Americans, whatever the hell
yeah,
that means.
Okay.
And then it's like, okay, but this is just a Super Bowl halftime show. This isn't someone saying, this is the music you have to listen to in your home for the rest of your life. When did the Super Bowl halftime show become like, this is supposed to be only music for me?
Yeah, I think we're getting there's a generation of people and a certain kind of people that are entitled, and they feel like, and especially as the boomers get older, their numbers were so big that for most of their lives, they catered to their demographic because there was just so many of them. People, until the boomers, they didn't really care about teenagers. You know, you talk to, like, seriously, advertisers, marketers. Right. Kids didn't have any money. And it wasn't, so they're like, why should we advertise to them? Their parents are the ones with the money.
Right.
So it wasn't until after the war in the 50s, the 60s, and all of a sudden kids had this disposable income. And there were so many of them that, okay, now they're a demographic. They, you know, there was no concerts filling football stadiums before the boomers, you know what
right.
I mean? Sinatra played theaters.
No kidding.
So when they, you know, until the Beatles, there was like, oh my God, they saw dollar signs. So for their whole lives, they've been kind of mainstream media catered to their tastes. And now that they're old and dying out and they're not cool, and I think they've lived their whole lives being kind of catered. They were used to like movies and TV and radio, like kind of catering to them and what they want. And now it's not happening anymore. They're like, who's this Bad Bunny? It's like, well, your grandparents were sitting around going, who's this Aerosmith?
Is this Michael Jackson or these Bruce
Michael
Springsteen?
I mean, of course. So it's, so they don't want to let go. They don't want to let it go, and they don't want to give it up.
And here's the thing I think is interesting, Mike, because I don't, historically on Nightlight, I haven't really gone into politics. This isn't even politics. This is bad entertainment versus good entertainment. This is like, right. again, not something for me, Bad Bunny necessarily, but just relax, calm down, go make a sandwich, you know.
I mean, right, or geez. Mute it. Do what
you
gotta do. You know, there's a million other things to do. People act like there's nothing. You know, it just kids, you know, who doesn't complain about like mass media and like kids, young people, you know why? Cause they're not on it. They're on TikTok and, and YouTube, and they choose their own entertainment. They're not like angry that why wasn't this made for me?
It's like, right.
Well, there's a billion other things you could do. You could look at your phone. You could do anything.
Yeah.
So just, chill out. It's not for you. They need a new generation to try to watch this thing. And, you know, they're not going to put, The Who on there. The Who is 80 now.
Yeah.
Those guys are 80.
Nobody. The Who doesn't want to see The Who.
No, exactly.
Mike, I believe the children are our future.
Oh, that's good. Write it down, Pete. That's good.
Mike Siegel is my guest. He's a very funny stand-up comedian and the host of the Travel Tales podcast. Mike, where have you been recently? You've traveled the world, literally. Any exciting travels recently?
Recently, I don't know. I don't know if I've talked to you since I've been to Iceland. That was that was a big trip I did. Yeah, it was great. I picked up a cruise ship that I was working on there, but I went there a week early with my girlfriend, and we just traveled the island, which is great. I mean, it's really beautiful. It's bring money. Yeah. I could recommend that.
I would anyway if I were to travel somewhere.
It's not you're right. Bring more of it is what I'm
okay.
saying. Because it's, it's an island, and any kind of island, they kind of got you coming or going when it comes to pricing.
Mm.
But it's just more expensive because they get to ship everything in and fly it
sure.
in or whatever. But it's great. I mean, we saw a volcano go off. Like
wow.
it exploded while we were there, and we were worried that it was gonna like you know, they're so used to it there. While we were having dinner, she looks over my shoulder, is like through the window, was like, "What is that orange glow over there?" I go, "What? That wasn't there earlier." And then we asked the waiter, it's like, "Sir, what's that over there?" He just looked at it and went, "Oh yeah, the volcano went off." What? You guys, yeah, guys need anything to drink? Or yes. How about everything? What? Should we need everything? I want everything to drink. What is this? They were just like, "Yeah, this is a small one." I was like, "A small one? All right." But you could go out and watch it, the lava come out, that you could watch it, you know, erupt.
That is so cool.
People were running out to their cars.
We've got music. We're coming right back with Mike Siegel. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
That's a good song.
Well,
all right, I thought it was
going to
kick in.
It goes on for a bit.
I like that song. That's a fun song.
Best part about that song, Pete, is the only thing, the only song I can think of that used Mazel Tov in it. Mazel Tov. Can you think of any popular song that uses Mazel Tov in a lyric?
Not aside from that,
Mazel
I can.
Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov. Yeah, you're right. They do.
Right?
Yeah,
I defy
crazy.
You, Pete.
Listen, I'm not a braggart, and I don't.
This is like
be...
one of those games you play in the car. Name me one song,
excluding any bar mitzvah you've ever been to. Mike Siegel is here, folks. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast. He's been all over the world. He has great stories and great guests. I highly recommend checking out the Travel Tales podcast. He's also a very funny stand-up comedian. Mike, I want to ask you about the. Have you been watching the Olympics?
No, I did catch a little bit of. I like to see the curling. I'm all about the curling, Pete. Shuffleboard on ice rocks and broomsticks.
I missed it the other night, so I just kind of swept up around the house, and it was.
Apologies to our Canadian listeners, but
it's terrible.
Look, a lot of sports are silly on the, but I'm sure if you're doing, I know there's a skill to it. I know it seems like something you can play into your old age. So what the hell? I'm all for it. Is it any worse than they got cornhole on TV? So what am I going to,
Yeah, but it's not an Olympic sport
yet.
Right, correct. But that's how I feel about curling. Like they must have like okayed this, the Olympic Committee, or maybe going back to Greece, like, we need sports. We need a couple extra sports. We're a little low. Hey, who's that guy with the broom over there? So I haven't really been following it either, but I was excited the other night because my wife and I went to see Anaconda, and, it was – mildly, it was fine. It was, the tickets were $4, and it was kind of fun. And then we got home, we got some food, we get home, and it's like, let's watch the Olympics curling.
Yeah,
and that's what we were.
It seems like every time I try to turn it on, they're showing me figure skating, which I just do not care about.
That's another one.
The dancing and the costumes and stuff, I guess. And they know demographically that it does appeal to more to a female audience, which they're trying to get. But man, it leaves me cold. I did see some speed skating, which I kind of like, and I do like the snowboarding and stuff and ski jumping and that kind of stuff. But
I'm with you on the figure skating. I like the costumes and the makeup and all that, but I can do that at home, Mike. I don't need to go out and see the
wear my tights watching it, Pete. I wear those.
I would hope so. It's funny that the sports that are the hardest to watch to me are the ones where they grade them. It's like this guy.
Yeah, the judges.
Speed skater, whatever, cross country skier, finish first. They're the winner. Like the judges, it's like, I don't, it's tough for me to get behind those sports.
Yeah, I don't like anything with a judge. It's so, you know, subjective, and whether it's skating or gymnastics,
diving,
just like, ugh, God, you know,
and because the problem too, Mike, is you become a judge at home. Like, I'm watching diving and I go, well, that guy went right in the water and didn't break his neck. It looked like a good dive to me.
That's a win, buddy. 10 out of 10.
Right? He's walking away to fight another day, to dive another day. I'm kind of with you, though, about the curling, and I don't understand why they led with that. Let's get this great opening ceremony. Everybody's excited. It's the Olympics. What's on opening night? Sweeping. I mean, come on. That's just bad programming, right?
I don't know. We're all biding our time till the hockey. Is that what's happening?
Right. I wanted to ask you, what's your favorite sitcom, Mike, built around a comedian? Like, you know, when we were coming up, and you even had your own development deal. You had an NBC development deal, which we were all kind of like, oh, my God, that's so
It was
crazy.
Holding. It was a holding deal.
That well, is, the first one was development, so we never, right?
Well, they say that, but it was kind of okay. A glorified. We never developed anything. I met with some writers who eventually went on to make some big, huge shows. But, yeah, never, you know, some ideas were thrown around, but it never got to the, the stage where we shot a pilot. And it was kind of like by that time, by the late 90s, it was starting to wind down because there had been so many deals made with comedians and, you know, one out of 20 or 30 took off or even saw the air, you know. Everybody remembers the big ones like, you know, Roseanne and Seinfeld and things like that. But there was a lot of them that got, you know, two episodes, no episodes, one. And so they had kind of, it was kind of like going down by the time I got there. But, look, I was really fortunate and just to be around. I did appear on a number of them as a guest star and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was great. But it's the greatest gig. A four-camera sitcom is the greatest acting gig ever. I mean, you're in town. You're not, like, shooting a film where you're going on location for 6 months or whatever. You can,
right.
So that's why a lot of stars who have just had a baby and want to be in town and they're like, you know what? I think I will do a
TV
sitcom.
Doesn't seem so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It's great. And if it takes off, you can make a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know,
I still it's funny. I would put Roseanne in that category. That Roseanne show was outstanding.
It was big.
It was
really
great.
Big.
It was well written. And you got John Goodman and, she was the star. So she could crack wise. She didn't really have to be a great actor like Seinfeld. And that to me is probably still my favorite. Like, I still watch Seinfeld when I'm going to bed, just something to fall asleep to. It's just so great. But I would say Seinfeld is probably my favorite.
Can you tell? I mean, I was all in on Seinfeld like so many other people. But it was like by the end of it, I think now that you're watching them over and over again, do you find that they, like, the last couple seasons seem to be really tailing off? Like, they were reaching for, like,
yeah.
Ugh.
It was kind of like towards the end, it was, I would say the last three seasons was like two really funny episodes per season.
You could really tell when Larry David left.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
hey, Mike, can we keep you for a couple minutes after the news?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network. Act 3 is next. Mike Siegel, Rich LoCascio talking wrestling later in Act 3, too. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun.
Oh my gosh. Look at her butt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.